This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
We have a liftoff.
Sports Radio 610 presents
The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
It's the 5 o'clock fire.
Ah, it is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, old dirty show. And Psycho T, a.k.a. T-Mill, have the latest. And the latest is we are live and we are on the fourth leg of our crawfish circuit. And we have arrived at Blue Water Seafood. Clap it up here, folks. Clap it up. We're having a good time out here. There we go. There we go. It's been a fun time. We'll still be out here until 6 o'clock. There are TVs everywhere. You can come and stop by and watch the Astros take on the Royals. We'll talk about that in a second. You can watch the NBA playoffs tonight. The Lakers and the T-Wolves, they get going. There are multiple games tonight. So this is a good place to come in and have some crawfish. By the way, right now, you buy four and get one free with the crawfish. They do that every Tuesday as well, not to mention Mondays. They got a little oyster special that you don't want to miss. Three locations, any of the locations you go to, all of the specials apply. So come on out. Come and join us as we're here. We're at the location right off Highway 290. Make your way on out here and enjoy yourself with us, Clint. It's been a good time out here as always. It is 5 o'clock, and we do have a little 5 o'clock fire action. As I said, the Astros, they had a day off, and they are headed to Kansas City to play the Royals. And both teams are playing pretty well. Obviously, the Astros won 6 of 7. They had a great homestand, exactly what they needed against the Padres and the Blue Jays, getting a day off. And then they'll take on the Royals, who've just won four in a row, sweeping their doubleheader they had yesterday in Kansas City. And old Hayden Wisniewski gets the ball tonight, Clint. And here is the lineup. And I wonder if Clint will be annoyed by this. But here's the lineup. Jose Altuve is in at second base, so let's have fun. I can honestly get that a little bit, Clint, because that is the biggest outfield in Major League Baseball. I know how much you don't give a damn about that. But Jose Altuve is at second base. Yordan is the DH. Paredes is batting third and playing third. Pena stays in that cleanup spot, and he is bat fourth. Christian Walker, who has been getting hot here lately, he is there. Zach DiCenzo is in left field. He is getting some run again after he has really swung the bat well here of late.
D's nuts DiCenzo, baby. Let's go.
There it is, Zach. D's nuts DiCenzo. Hey, man.
He was chomping at the bit to get that one in there.
Oh, I was.
I am hoping. Hey, I am.
You over there stopping at Jeremy Pena and Christian Walker. Tyler's going, come on, damn it. Yeah,
He didn't play the panty droppers. He was focused.
He missed the drop.
I'm going to lie to you. Tyler. That's I've been good. Waiting for. I'm hoping he's in the lineup when Lance starts. When Lance's first start, don't worry, I'm ready for Zach. I am poised and ready for the lineups when it comes to Zach DiCenzo. Don't worry about that.
Okay.
Here's the interesting one, Clint. They're coming off the day off yesterday, and Victor Caratini is catching today. Yiner Diaz. Victor Caratini is catching today, coming off a day off. Cam Smith is in right field. Jake Meyers in center. So that's the lineup. They moved Jake back down. So,
well, I tell you, Yiner better be careful. Yeah, Yiner, I mean, look, the more you struggle, look, Vic has been big time clutch since he's been with the Astros, and he has swung it well, so much so to the point where they moved him, got him involved a lot more last year. and to get his bat in the lineup. And the better be careful part of this thing is, man, you don't have but a couple left-handed sticks in this lineup.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm not this – I don't believe in the old-school way of lefty-righty, all that kind of crap. I mean, but when you look up and Yordan Alvarez is the only left-handed hitter you have, I mean, Vic's ability to switch hit is could come into play here in a big way and get him more run. And right now, there's no more like Yiner Diaz being the DH is. You got to shuffle the cards completely. Yiner Diaz playing first base right now. You got two options that are better than him with Christian Walker and obviously Zach DiZenzo. I mean, you just the ability to pull Yiner and play him at a different position to get Caratini's batting lineup isn't there. So Yiner better. I mean, there's plenty of reason for a manager to say, "Hey, man, we got to go with Caratini a little bit more than we planned on." Man. Yiner can't give him the reason, him not swinging the bat.
But it's got to be a while, man.
I agree.
I mean, like he is, because like I mean, Clint Tyler, tell me if I'm wrong. Of like all of the young guys, he's got to be at the top of the list of being most promising. Like at the top of
Yiner?
Yeah.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah,
that,
yeah.
For, especially what he's shown. I mean, we've seen a guy that has hit with power over 20 home runs a couple of years ago. He was a top three finisher in the Silver Slugger Award for catcher. Like, it's got to be a while before Victor Caratini comes in and takes that.
I'm not in any way, shape, or form saying it should happen. I'm just saying Yiner better start swinging better, because if this lefty gets in there and gets hot, With Yiner Diaz not being able to throw my ass out at second base when I decide to steal, and he's swinging the bat, and he's only right-handed.
Now you're right. He does have to pick that up. It's all of it.
If you're going to struggle at the plate, man, you better be able defensively to put some things together. And you know, right now, I mean, Caratini's bringing as much, if not more, to the table, and he's been super clutch since he's been there. So, I'm not saying they should do it. I'm just saying if Yiner don't come on, an extended struggle for Yiner Diaz could mean significantly less playing time.
Yeah, he's got to pick it up. But luckily for him, though, he hadn't been the only one in there struggling.
Right.
So it's not such a big deal, but yeah, man, you start to look at it, man. He's been moving down the lineup. It's not a good sign if you're Yiner Diaz and Jake Myers is coming out and hitting ahead of you in the lineup. That's not what you want to do. Jake's hitting fifth and you're in the lineup behind him, so that's not what you want to see. But I think it is interesting. That did jump out to me coming off a day off and facing a right-handed pitcher. I mean, I get the switch hit thing, but for him to be on the bench on a day off is an interesting thought there. So that is where they're going there. Victor Caratini gets a start. We'll see if they can continue to roll on and do their thing as they will be in Kansas City over the weekend.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, as we look at the draft here coming up, day two of the draft, and we have talked a lot about things happening with the draft, Clint, as we will continue to do so. The Texans have 5 picks today. They've got 2 in the second round. They've got 1 right off the bat, the second pick in the second round, as they've made that trade with the Giants to get to that spot. Do you get the sense that we will see the Texans use all 5 of those picks today? Do you think you don't think they use all, because these are all we consider premium picks.
No.
5 guys.
No. Look, I think you got a real chance here to come away with 3 really good picks, and if you want to get real aggressive, 3 good picks in you know the top half of the second round kind of deal. If you can find teams that'll play ball, you know, and let you move up, then they could end up with 3 better picks than we thought possible, even with the first round pick. So, depending on how aggressive they want to be, I'm in for you know, being over aggressive now that you stockpiled all these picks. If not, for what, right? I mean, if you're not going to be aggressive at some point, why make the trade before the draft yesterday? You know what? Because I mean, we damn sure don't need 2 more 6th round picks and 7th round picks running around the damn training camp. I don't think they use all 5 of them. I think they move and shake and probably more than once.
Yeah. Because that's first off, that's 5 players you got to pay, right?
Yeah.
And you got the contracts you got to come up with. But I think they use 34. I'll be surprised. We heard a report coming from Jordan Schultz of Fox Sports. We heard a report saying that the Texans were one of a few teams up at the top that are taking calls for people trying to trade up to get an edge rusher or wide receiver at 34. I would be surprised if they did that. But I would imagine they use that 34th pick, and I think they pair another pick of some sorts, and maybe one of those three threes, one of those to get higher up. So I would say if you are watching the draft tonight and you're a Texans fan, like, stay plugged in, right? Like, right at the beginning. They're going to have the second pick in that draft, and then you may see them come up and pick again. This could be like they did a couple of years ago where, bam, there goes C.J. Stroud, and boom, right there again, there's Will Anderson right behind it. I think we didn't see them be aggressive yesterday, Clint, but I get the feel that we may see them get aggressive today with these picks.
Well, they're positioned to. Now, I mean, I obviously was dead-ass wrong yesterday about them getting aggressive, but this football team is
but they got 10 picks, man. They got 10 in this draft right now.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, whether you look at it from a total number of draft picks or you look at it from, like, where this team is at, everything screams be aggressive and get guys that can help you win this year, not draft picks for the future. So
stay tuned. Not yet. We will, at the end of the show, give you some names, all right, to put with it.
The other part of it, too, we need to circle back to is if you look at the Texans draft since Nick and D'Amico have been together, really since before D'Amico got here, boy, they have gotten some absolute game changers in the second and third round.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got some of your favorite players, some of your favorite Texans players, mm-hmm. And the more productive guys have been in the second and third round. So,
yep.
Yeah, hold tight now.
Yeah, all right. We'll keep it. Also, day two, we talked about Shadur earlier. Where do you get the sense he goes? First off, there's been talk, like, could he drop out of the second round? I think he'll go in the second round. I think so. But where do you get a sense he potentially may go?
Man, I don't know. I would like to think. I mean, the evaluator in me says if Cleveland doesn't take him, I mean, if he gets through Cleveland and New Orleans in the first four picks or five picks of the second round, we got to start talking about what the hell is going on. Like, I mean, how bad was he misevaluated, or what went on that we? What did Deion literally say? What did he do in an interview? Because I think he's a first round talent. Now you got quarterback needy teams.
From the coach's perspective, both of those places are. I think Kevin Stefanski's a really good offensive coach. I think New Orleans, you know, for him and indoors and everything. The one to watch to me is somebody that we know has ties that absolutely loves him.
The Raiders.
Yeah.
Tom Brady.
Tom loves Shadur Sanders. He absolutely thinks the world of Shadur Sanders.
Well, they got the fifth pick.
Yeah.
And the Browns got 1 and 4. The Raiders got 5. The Titans got 3. They've already taken their quarterback. The Texans have it. So it's the Browns twice, then the Raiders in this second round. So, I mean, New Orleans has got the eighth pick.
So the Browns have two of them there. Yeah,
the Browns have two. The Raiders have one. And everybody else. So you've got the Browns with two. You got New Orleans with one in the top eight. And you've got the Raiders with the fifth pick in the top eight. So the top eight, those teams all have draft picks. Cleveland has two. And everybody else has a quarterback. So those teams are going to have a shot at it.
Yeah. So to me, I don't think he gets past the Raiders. The Raiders, I mean, they've got Geno and they just gave him a contract. But that'd be a couple years, you know, him to sit, which wouldn't be bad, right there sitting in Vegas, you know, indoors out west. That wouldn't be a bad spot, Tom, in the building, for him to go to. I think Pete Carroll, somebody that Deion respects, and is a good coach, so that wouldn't be a bad landing spot. But yeah, I imagine he goes early there when you look at those teams.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, Clint. Jimmy Butler. The Jimmy Butler update is: we know he injured his what was called pelvis contusion in game two after he was undercut by Amen Thompson and never returned to that game. And obviously, the Rockets went on to tie that series up. This is coming from the Warriors. They said that Jimmy Butler, who exited Wednesday's game against the Rockets in the first quarter due to a pelvic contusion, underwent an MRI yesterday. The MRI confirmed that the injured injury as a pelvis and deep glute muscle contusion. His status for game 3 is questionable.